God is great. He's glorious. All right. Let's look at Matthew. Can I borrow one of your stands? Can I borrow that one? Matthew chapter 21. This is traditionally called Palm Sunday because Jesus came into town and people laid their clothing upon an animal, a burden of beast, and then cut branches out of the trees. And they gave glory to Jesus as a king. And so many people believed at that time that Jesus was in fact the king. So let's read chapter 21. And when they drew near unto Jerusalem, there were come to Bethphage, that means the house of figs, and unto the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus two of his disciples, saying, go into the village which is set over against you, and straightway you will find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, bring them to me. And if any man say anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you, meek. And he shall be sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and they did exactly as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothing, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude, which would number in the hundreds of thousands, probably in the millions, and a very great multitude, because it was the time of the feast, spread their garments also in the way. And others cut down branches from the trees, and they strawed them in the way. In other words, they placed them down on the ground. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, they would have sung that, because they were Jewish people, in Hebrew, and would have said, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In other words, Jesus did not come in his own name or by his own authority, but he came in God's highest authority, so he was sent from heaven. He was appointed. Now, they didn't know necessarily that he was God, but they did know that he was a king. And they did know that somehow he was HaMashiach, which means the Messiah. We say Christ. Christ is just the Greek word, Christos, for HaMashiach, the Messiah. And the Jewish people today are still waiting for their Messiah. And we Christians say, well, he already came 2,000 years ago, and so they're still hoping he will come, and of course he will come, and he will come as a king. The first time when he came, they didn't recognize him, because he came humble. He was riding not on a white horse and decked out as a king would with a crown on his head, but he came humble, that is, meek. And the word meek means someone who doesn't speak their own words, someone who doesn't say, you know, do their own deeds, someone who doesn't will their own will, but someone who absolutely is a trustee or a steward of somebody else for the benefit of somebody else. So the Father God sent him to say the words of the Father God and to declare the coming of the kingdom. Now, the odd thing here is that, and this is experienced by everybody, when you love somebody, you're going to be hurt. And there's a problem with love coming down. Now, if God was a mean God, everyone just would have bowed the knee and confessed that he was the Lord, the God Almighty. But because he came not to lord it over people, but actually God coming to serve people. You'd think people would like that. You'd think people would like good news. But actually people are so accustomed to the dark and so accustomed to bondage and so accustomed to being abused and misused that they actually didn't believe him. They actually didn't really believe that he could do anything. Now, the most they were hoping for is that Jesus would come, set up a kingdom, and then overthrow the Romans and set the Jewish people free so they could sin some more. So they really weren't into worshiping God or king or anybody. The people are really into themselves. Has anybody noticed that? People are self-serving. They're interested in their own. Well, we want to be the top people, just like, you know, many are proud that we Americans are the top. And so we're going quickly to the bottom now. So thank you to our present regime. We may not be the top for long or something. Nevertheless, people don't like love. And you'll find that people actually are afraid of being loved. They're afraid of opening up. They're afraid of getting hurt. And so when the people shouted out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they knew that he was like King David. And he was coming to set up his kingdom to overthrow the bad guys. Now, that would be heaven on earth for most people. In fact, for all people. That would be heaven on earth. The truth is, that's not heaven on earth. That Jesus is not just the means for your happiness or your fullness or your domination of others. But he actually came to teach us to serve. And in the 20th chapter, just prior to this, he had said, "For I am among you as one who serves." And if you want to be great in the kingdom, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over the people. But you shall be different. You, my church, you those that worship God and believe that I am God's son and his appointee, his meek one, you also then need to be like unto me so that the whole world can have hope. Because at first they'll crucify love. In other words, the law always crucifies love. So if you're under a law, you're under a burden, you're under a pressure, you're under behaving yourself. And most little kids, little bitty kids, they really don't want to be ruled. Little bitty kids just do whatever they want. They just, you know, just are wild. Do y'all know that, Willis? And so you have to break their will. You have to actually, discipline. No! No! And you have to teach them that the word no should be backed up with some kind of compelling force. And it doesn't do any good to reason with a child. How many know if you reason with a child, they will reason right back? And so they can justify whatever and make themselves innocent. What did I do? What did I do? And so when Jesus came as a king, he didn't look like a king. He didn't act like a king as far as they were concerned. Because he came meek and mild. He came humble, riding on a donkey or an ass or whatever, the colt, the foal of an ass. But the truth is that was prophesied in the Old Testament. So he was just following the script. He was just following what was written of him, that he will not come to lord us over like the rest of the rulers of this world. And he was saying, I want to have a kingdom made out of humble people who actually will serve. And that would make a good husband. I did a marriage last night and addressed the young man bearing the young woman and said, you know, your job is to not to make her happy, but your job is to make sure she's blessed at all times. And her job is to be blessed. So if anything goes wrong, you're the head, so you'll be the one responsible. And of course, everybody laughed. Nevertheless, that's the truth. And that's what makes for a great marriage, is that the man takes all the burdens, all the responsibility, even if the woman's at fault. He covers her. He does not allow her to be abused or to be despised or to pay any debt or to be in any way burdened. But he takes the burdens upon himself if he's a true man. And of course, that's not natural. You have to break the man to do that, because naturally the man is going to please himself and hope that the wife serves him. But Jesus has the opposite idea. So the rulers of this world do not want to be our servants. They want to be our lords. And that causes a problem with heaven. Heaven wants earth, the whole earth. I mean, after all, God made the world, and therefore he has a right to own what he made, and therefore he has a right to dictate how it should be and to govern what he is owner of. I mean, it's mine, he says. The whole earth belongs to God. So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I mean, everything in it, every grasshopper, every blade of grass, every cloud, every rock, and all peoples. So he's not only the creator of the world, but he is also the governor of the universe, but he's also the governor of all nations, and he's also the governor of me, and he's also the governor of my heart. And you know, he just wants the whole thing. So when Jesus came to town, they weren't sure exactly, you know, well, what's he going to do? And the first thing he did, I don't know if you, this wasn't written in this particular chapter, but in another one, he comes and he cleanses the temple of the money changers. So he's not only saying, I want my church not to be like the civil rulers, the civil magistrates, kings, mayors, governors, and so on. I want my church also to be separate from the commercial for-profit business, because your job will be to be my trustees for other people. Love others, don't take from them, but give to them. So when the founders of our state set it up, they didn't want the church to be under the state as the Catholics were, or even as the Protestants were. And so they didn't want to be Anglican or Presbyterian or anything. They just wanted everybody to be free. So they established what Jefferson and Madison did in Virginia. They established a religious freedom for everybody. Just, that's your own business under God. That's under nature. That's not under the king, the left hand. And so just do whatever your conscience. So Article 1:6, for example, says, every man shall have a natural and indefeasible, you can't defeat it, right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. So he was only subject then to nature, and nature is God. And even though it may appear to be that we're still that way, we're not. Actually, it has degenerated since then and fallen back pretty much to where it was, only you can't tell, because you can have the what's called de facto government and then the de jure government, meaning it looks like this, but it's actually that. So in fact, the churches are today under, again, the statutes. Now, Constitution is above statutes, but today the church is under, not under the Constitution, which de jure we still are, but de facto we are not. Now, I won't explain all that, but the point is that sooner or later you always fall back into the old if you don't go on to the new. And so there we are. But anyway, when Jesus came into town, he was setting up a kingdom on earth of just his own people, those that wanted to be under the right hand of God, who would be free. But they didn't have a real grasp of that. So the same people that said, Hosanna to the Son of David on Sunday, which is actually Sunday evening, tonight, on Sunday, which is actually, in their calendar, Saturday night, because their Sunday night actually starts the night before. I know I'm confusing you, but it's confusing. So that's just the way it is. So when he came into town, it was dark and not like we picture it as in the morning, daytime. And so when Jesus came then at night, he was hailed as a king right away. And then he went and cleansed the temple and scattered all the money changers and so on to purify his house. Now, that same crowd a few days later said, crucify him. So here they go quickly from praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, Hosanna to the Son of David, all that, and then to crucify him. because the official church, the Jewish Sanhedrin, the leaders, were able to demagogue the crowds. How many know crowds are fickle? People are easily manipulated or demagogued. And therefore, today, we started out as a republic, but now today we're just a democracy. In other words, the majority rules, and that's it. So you lose all of the Constitution, you lose all of higher law, you lose those things that the founders worked so hard to make inviolate, so that you couldn't violate them. But today it's just the mob. Today it's just who has the most numbers. That's about it. And demagogues love that kind of thing because they can take advantage. But nevertheless, don't worry about where the world is. The church is the problem. Let judgment begin in the household of God. So, 1 Peter 4:29. So let judgment begin in the household of God. I think it's 4:19. Whatever it is. Now, that judgment, what God is after is His own people not to be in bondage to anything here, but to be totally free, just as it was set up. But for a thing to be set up doesn't mean that's the way it's going to stay. How many know that sooner or later sin can creep back into your life? You might start out, but it's not he who begins, but it's he who wins the race, who endures all the way to the end. So that's the problem. So Jesus came into town, and by Thursday, they'd already tuckered out, and they were all ready to crucify him. So I think that's interesting about spiritual things, is you can start out so in love with Jesus, and then all of a sudden you can turn back to the ways of this world. Could anyone say amen? You know, there's just something cool about that, that God, who knows everything, knew that was going to happen. And then God, in His wisdom, chose us near the end of time, near the end of the age, because we would be faithful for sure. Do you see that? Especially right here in Dallas. So we're going to be all right. No problem, because it's up to us, ML. It's up to us. And so God chose us because we are so wondrous and powerful and brilliant and faithful. No, He actually has everything in order. Nothing has ever gone to the enemy, no matter what you think. Having a bad ruler doesn't mean anything. Having bad pastors really doesn't mean anything. It's really up to y'all. So you have all of the responsibility on yourselves to take care of yourselves under God. Now, whether you do it or not, that's none of my business. Mine is only to take care of me and my family and so on and so forth. But in the end, you are my church, so I have to tell you the truth. And when I tell you the truth, then it'll be your responsibility. I won't have any further responsibility but to declare it to you and teach. And then if you want to, you can go on. So you can go from being a believer to a disciple to a lover. Now that's the ultimate goal. So He's coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. Spots has to do with the world. Wrinkles has to do with the false church. And any such thing has to do with anything in this world that the church should not be part of, because we are a new creation. Okay? Kine is a Greek word which means new of an entirely different kind. And katesis means creation. So not the natural creation that He first created under His left hand, but a new creation under His right hand. You are a new creation. You are a royal priesthood and holy nation. Holy. And so if you believe that, and I do, but if you believe that, then you know, hey, that's who I am. That's who I then want to be. I choose to be what I am. So you're not a bad person trying to behave yourself. You're actually a holy person born from above, anothen in the Greek. You're born from on high, and you are now submitted to His glorious kingdom spiritual law, not the law of this world that punishes you if you do bad, but the law that says, never stop believing that everything He said was true. Because he will have his way. How many know that when he comes back, he's going to be king, and he'll come back with an army this time? Not that he needs it, because he has a sword coming out of his mouth, and he can just speak a word, and everybody's he need to win. But he wants us to come voluntarily from the heart. So everybody here today loves the Lord Jesus from the heart. Amen? Yeah, well, whether you do or not, only God knows. I wouldn't know. The only way we can judge is by your fruit. So if you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control, those nine, if you have those fruits, then you know you're not doing it. None of those fruits are human doable.